Well, 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 good evening, everyone. It's another loss, another brutal, brutal loss for the Arsenal. Is it time to start asking questions? I think so. Convenient that Super Kev and Amanda aren't here today, the Arteta lovers. Hmm. Well, I may not have Amanda and KC, but I do have three epic men in the house with me tonight. Welcome from the same old Arsenal team talk, Mr. Dan Potts.
Hey, Soph, how you doing? Absolute pleasure to be on, as always. Cheers for having me, man.
Thanks for joining me. And then we have Daniel, the Blind Gooner, joining us too. Dan, the man, welcome to the show. Lovely to have you on the Highbury squad. This is your first time appearance on the show, so we're delighted to have you, mate.
It is. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Love it. And of course, one of my favourites too is Mr. James, LL Cool James. And he just brags about the 91 because I think that's the year he was born. But we'll just leave it at that. Welcome, James. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm very good. Like I said a minute ago, I'm not as bad as I didn't have to wake up at a crack of dawn like yourself. So
yeah,
I feel more bad for our international fans than...
I know, for you guys living in England, right? I've been up since 4 a.m. That's okay. I've had probably 10 espressos. But, you know, it was worth it because it's always worth it getting up for the Arsenal, even though, you know, it wasn't the result that we wanted. I'm going to play a voice note that Amanda sent to me and then we can go from there. She can't be on the show today, but I wanted to play this because she's been an Arteta in person forever. And for the first time today, she's questioning Arteta, not saying Arteta out. So I'm going to play this and then we can go from there.
Hey, everyone. So sorry I can't be on. I know we weren't going to do a pod, but when Sophie wanted to do one, I did think about it. But
vengeance for 4 a.m, Amanda.
I can't shift it. So you can just have to do with a voice note from me. Please look after Sophie as Kevin and I are not there, although I know Dan and James and the other Daniel will. So big up to all of you for supporting Sophie today. It's been tough, hasn't it? As you all know, I'm a massive supporter of Arteta. I've said, give it time. We're in a process and everything. And I still believe that. What I don't get, and I will criticise, is what's happened today. I do not understand why we've put Saka at left back, move Pepe to the right when he so plays far better on the left to make way for Willian, who I can't even discuss. I have no idea what he's doing in even in the squad. But he came on, and then Aubameyang for Lacazette. Now, my very, very big concern is about Aubameyang. I just don't know what's going on there. For me, I'd have bought Martinelli on instead of Aubameyang. Give us some pace, give us some energy up front. Aubameyang didn't give us any of that. I'm concerned about Partey again, looking like he's walked off injured. We miss Tierney so much, which then frees Cedric to go on the right. I wanted some positives. Big up to Matty Ryan, who was my man of the match. The first goal was nothing to do with him. And from then on, he just played a blinder. So big up to him. I can't give match ratings because don't rate any of them apart from Matty Ryan, who would get an 8 from me. I just feel that the inconsistency is what's killing us. We all knew it was going to be a fragile run and where was it going to end and what was going to happen. Unfortunately, we came out absolutely firing against Wolves. Then we all know what happened. And although I don't feel that's hindered us today, we're never great at 12:30 kickoffs. We never are. It doesn't matter what manager you got. We've never been great. I don't know why. But do you know what? I am so fuming about this VAR stuff. I watched an interview with Peter Walton saying VAR is not there to make correct decisions. It's there for obvious mistakes. Even Peter Crouch and Rio Ferdinand was like, what? I mean, have you ever? I cannot go on about VAR anymore. I am just done with it. For me, I still don't know whether Saka's man on him should have been sent off. I know most of you think he should, but I'm not sure on that. Lacazette, I've looked at it a few times. He should have given the penalty. He really should. Because at the beginning he was pulling his shirt, and whether Lacazette leaned on me or not, it was holding his shirt. And again, Peter Crouch pointed that out. I'd like to say that we just got to put this game down to forgetting it and move on. We've got a week's grace now till tomorrow week, I think. Disappointed, as you can imagine. We all are. No one's any different. Whether I still think he's the right man for the job, I do. I know none of you probably do, but I do. So try and enjoy the show. Look after myself, and always Arsenal. Always.
All right. PG with her assessment there had to squeeze that one in. We had 66 possession today, you guys, 34% to Aston Villa, 12 fouls for us, even 12 for them. Corner kicks, we're absolutely useless on corner kicks, don't do anything. I agree with Amanda that Matty Ryan saved the day on his debut for the Arsenal. Dan Potts, I'm going to start with you. Team selection, I just want to start there before we go to the player ratings that will help us unwind what happened in the game. The right team selection today, no?
Yeah, it was, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we all knew that there was going to be issues with David Luiz and Leno today. And for me, it had to be Gabriel that came in. And I was praying that Matty Ryan was fit, and he was. So I was cool with that. I didn't want to see Aubameyang because I don't believe that he has deserved to kind of dislodge that front three. So I thought that was all good. And then personally, like, I looked at the midfield and thought that that was going to be the key battle for me. And I was pleased to see that Thomas Partey was in there. So listen, there was no qualms in me about the team selection. But yeah, there was enough to upset me still today. Trust me.
And Daniel and James, I just want to make sure, like, from you as well, Daniel, you were happy with the team selection too. I think it was the best team that he could have put out there based on the performance against Wolves.
Yeah, I was happy with the team selection. I think he went with the right team selection. And I agree pretty much with what Dan said. I don't think you could justify bringing Aubameyang back into the starting lineup. But everybody else was fine. You know, everybody else, you know, Thomas Partey and Granit Xhaka as the holding midfielders, that looked pretty decent. And then Saka keeps his place. So, yeah, I was happy with the team selection.
And James, are you in agreement with the lads on the team selection for today? There's a lot of people in our chat saying they would have chosen Pablo Mari.
Yes, I would have picked Mari as well. I think he's been better out of him and Gabriel for that left-footed centre-back that we seem to want to play when Luiz isn't fit. So, yeah, I would have put Mari in. I saw the comment a minute ago from Thomas from Norway. I don't know if he's a family member, and that's why he wanted Smith Rowe dropped. I don't know if he wanted his family member from Norway going in. But
I thought Smith Rowe was ineffective though today. I don't think.
Yeah, I wouldn't have started him. I've said for the last couple of weeks he looks a bit leggy. And then when I mentioned that in your comments the other day, I got slandered for it. So maybe I was wrong. But I wouldn't have started Smith Rowe personally. I would have gone for Odegaard from the start. But you know, it is what it was, but I'm just more disappointed at how quickly it all faded.
So let's get to that real quick before we get to some play ratings and stuff. Dan, it started off horrifically. I was making an espresso and I literally was in the kitchen, came back, and I'm like, how did that happen? It escalated so quickly. Terrible from Cedric, who's been wonderful in our last few games, and switched off. Positionally, people started blaming Holding for where he was, but none of that would have happened and Holding wouldn't have been in a hole if Cedric had just made a decent pass. Terrible start, right, Dan Potts?
It was absolutely dreadful, and it's how inconsistent we are, isn't it? This is why I've been laughing at people when they've been saying that we can still get top four. That incident right there proves why we can't, because we're not good enough. You know, they switch off and class players don't do that. Good players do. And that's what we've got, too many OK players. We haven't got anyone that's exceptional, that's 100% concentrated. You can't do that at the back against a team like Aston Villa. You can't go 1-0 down against them because we basically play into their hands and make it easy for them. We needed to come out and play like we did against Wolves in the first half the other night. And I couldn't think of anything more opposite to that. It was just an absolute shambles. And when you do that at the start of any game, it's going to be really, really difficult. But none of us got going. None of us could put passes together. Bellerin was back to the old Bellerin of the Wenger days. Granit Xhaka couldn't pass for Toffee again, just like he couldn't when Arsene Wenger was here. Lacazette wasn't even a forward. I think he was playing in Granit Xhaka's position for most of the game. Every single time he was in, where is he? Where is he in the box? Nowhere to be seen. And then Aubameyang comes in, all he did was stand on Martinez. So it was like playing without a centre-forward. I just didn't understand what the hell the game plan was. And yeah, when you start like that, Soph, what do you expect?
It's brutal. And Lacazette had to come hunting for the ball way too much today, Daniel. And here's the thing too, you know, we did start off really badly and it was unfortunate the way we did, but we never recovered from it. And one of the things I was talking about on Twitter today is how we're mentally impotent and that we still have this mental weakness. And, you know, everyone keeps talking about how Arteta's infused this philosophy and this style. And I'm like still trying to understand exactly what that is. Yes, we've been better defensively. And God forbid I bring up Emery's record in the Premier League versus Arteta. But today it showed that maybe mentally we hadn't recovered from Wolves. What was your assessment? Slow start. I hear what PG's saying too about the noon kickoff. We generally don't do well when we have to play earlier, but there shouldn't be any excuses at this level. Right, Daniel?
No, there shouldn't be. And, you know, it's just so frustrating because we get into, you know, we have a succession of wins and then we just have these two results which completely upset everything. And this is why I don't get carried away when we do go on these little runs and everybody thinks that we've turned a corner and that. And it's you just know what's going to happen. You're going to get to a certain point and we're just going to struggle. And, you know, picking up on Dan's point about the mentality must be a mentality thing because these players get to a certain point and then just go backwards. But yeah, looking at, you know, it wasn't a great first half. Everything was wrong. I thought Thomas Partey's passing was off today as well as Granit Xhaka's. I didn't think he was at the level he usually is. But yeah, listen, it wasn't great, was it?
It really wasn't. And James, you know, what's interesting is that we did have our chances again, even in the first half. And dare I say, Nicola Pepe was probably our best player on the pitch today. That's four games in a row, in my opinion, he's stringed good performances together. But once again, the finishing and the lack thereof and the lack of goals we've scored under Arteta this season especially has been absolutely shocking. Why are we not able to capitalize? And also our final ball. And we'll get to all the controversial moments in just a minute, you guys. Just want to kind of take it piece by piece here. But the lack of deadliness in front of goal is shocking. Why? How has this happened? We scored more goals in the Premier League under Unai Emery, who everyone was eviscerating towards the end of his tenure.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's summed it up brilliantly so far. Is main one is tempo. So we had all that tempo from Wolves. And then, like you said, right at the end of the half, just completely obliterated everything. And then they score a weldie. Leno does what he does. And then I think today, you're going into that game. And I've got this stuff to hand from my knowledge. Now, I'm nowhere near Arsenal as a club. I'm not behind the scenes. I'm nowhere. But I've got all this stuff in my brain and on my fingertips. Now, Aston Villa are the third best team in the Premier League at scoring goals first. So you think, right, okay, Everton are second, Man City are first. So you go, right, look, just don't go a goal down. Just don't go a goal down. They're the third best in the league at it. Just don't go within 74. I mean, a goalkeeper that's making his debut, his first touch of the ball is picking it out of his own net.
He was so unlucky.
That's his first touch of the ball. So we just start so badly. I mean, 65% of the goals that we've conceded this season are all in the first half. 65%. When you're playing catch up all the time, it's not going to go well. It's not going to go. If we just play quick, fast football, like we know we can, we can turn these teams over. But today we're playing this sort of boring, malaise-y type football, and we're pumping all these crosses in. It's Konsa and Mings. We're never going to win it in the air against them two.
And also, Dan, just to jump in, I think we've gone 12 game consecutive games in the Premier League where we go down at half time and we've never come back to win the game. I mean, these are the stats that fans need to look at. We, people who think we're improving, look at our league position. We're a cup team. We are not improving in the league. And I know Arteta needs to bring in his own players. But he's brought in Gabriel. He's brought in Thomas Partey. He chose to bring in Willian. Probably one of the worst signings in our history. So let's just get to it, right? We're going to lose Dan in about 15 minutes. So I just want to start going through. Before we do that, was it a red card on the Saka challenge, Dan Potts? And was it a penalty where Emmy was pulling on Laka's shirt? Because everyone's screaming in chat. And if I don't address those issues right now, they might come after me. So what are your thoughts on those two controversial moments in the game?
Well, I don't understand how the Lacazette one is in a penalty because Martinez is grabbing him and grappling his shirt. So for that not to go to VAR to look at what's happened there is crazy. I don't think the Saka one's a red card in terms of the centre-half because I think he's so far out that he can't be seen as a blatant one-on-one with the keeper because the other defender was going to get back. So I can understand that one just. I did shout out for a red at the start, but then I look at it again, I'm thinking, yeah, I can see why the ref would decide that the other defender could probably get back in time. But I look at the situation and I get frustrated with us always pointing the fingers at VAR and the ref. I'd rather point the fingers at our performance and say how poor it was and be blatantly honest because you can shout at the refs all you want. You can do that for the Wolves game. I don't think you can for this game today. I just think it was abysmal. And I just want to ask our amazing manager why we went out the FA Cup for this.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do that for? Why are we now out the FA Cup for this? These last four games where apparently we have been really, really good, we've taken hardly any points. We took one off Man United and three off Southampton. And everyone's going absolutely exceptional about mm-hmm. how great we are. I don't get this. I don't understand it. The last three games, I've seen a style. I've seen us play out from the back. I've seen us passing triangles and I've seen a high press. We've taken 4 points. So let's not get too excited and carried away. Top four was never on as far as I was concerned. And I was crying out to go for all the out for the Europa League. But the Europa League doesn't start until another week or two from now. So for the weeks that I was saying, concentrate on the Europa League, I could understand why we have to obviously not just give out and throw in the towel. But it looks like we have, because these players have got no understanding. People seem to think they're playing for this manager. I don't get it. I don't understand how you can say that they are. And just lastly, so Arteta needs players, apparently. 9 of them are his, and 5 of them have signed long-term contracts for him. So that's 14 players that he wants at this club, and he can only select 25 in total. So how many more does he need then? Does he need another 14? I don't get it. I can't sit there and say, yeah, he doesn't really fancy some of these players when he clearly fancies Bellerin, clearly fancies Xhaka, clearly fancies Lacazette, and they're the only three that he hasn't bought. All the others he's either asked to sign an extension for and he's playing, or he's bought them. He's bought Cedric, he's bought Gabriel, he's bought Mari, he's bought Partey, he's bought Willian, he's asked Ceballos to stay. He wants Holding to sign a contract. He plays Xhaka every week. He plays Bellerin every week. He wants Leno as his number one. How many more positions are there that aren't his players? I don't get this. I can't understand it. And he can't get them playing. So, listen, the decision to bring on Willian instead of Martinelli shocked me. Playing Saka at left back was ridiculous. Looking at the situation of who was playing where on the end of that game. Pepe was on the right again. Odegaard was kind of number 8 and maybe a 6 and maybe a bit of a 10. Smith Rowe was wherever he wanted to be. Willian was kind of right back, left wing. I didn't understand anything that was going on. And I thought, you've put all your strikers and all of your kind of playing cards on the field and we can't break Aston Villa down, who weren't even that well beaters, by the way. They didn't look exceptional. So I'm just asking so many questions. I'm just getting so confused. I'm trying to be positive for the last three games. And I thought, let's take away my Arteta agenda out that everyone thinks I've got. And let's just look at the situation. I want this manager to be successful because I'm an Arsenal fan, believe it or not. And I want us to win games. But when I'm looking at the present and not the future about Arteta is going to be great for us in 5 years and these players are going to be superb. We've already had 17 without winning the league. I don't want to wait another 5 years. I want to see what we're going to do now. He's got 14 out of the 25 players that are his, and I can't see them playing for him. So I'm going to ask questions.
And brilliantly summed up, and rightly so, absolutely. And James, the substitution. So this is where we start to kind of critique Arteta, right? He started off with the right team. We were all happy with that, especially after losing Leno and losing David Luiz. Maybe we wanted Pablo Mari in there, give and take. But in general, he kept with that front four, which we all wanted because we're not sure about Aubameyang yet. But then when he has the opportunity to affect and change the game, he waits a little bit too long today, I think, to make those changes. And then when he does make those changes, it's questionable because Pepe shined against Wolves. We all saw that in front of our own eyes, and he's emerged in the last four games. So then he switches it around. But for me, the most egregious thing, and you can also comment on the Saka foul and also the Lacazette incident, but the most egregious thing of today, and if I've been worried, and I've asked this question before on the show, is I'm not sure if he fancies Gabriel Martinelli. Because even before Gabby got injured, he wasn't really picking him. And for me, in this game, when you need a goal and you need energy, you bring on Willian instead of Gabriel Martinelli. These are the moments where he completely loses me. And I think to myself, why is he doing that? Why is he making these choices? I don't even understand it. I was fuming. James, go on. Let me know what you think about that.
Yeah, honestly, I think there's something contractual with Willian that he has to get a certain.
There has to be, right?
I cannot see tactically how he believed that that was the right decision to make. And if he's come out and said it, if someone can pass it on, I'd love to know. Because if he said it, because when he brought him on the other week, he said, oh, it was to tactically help Cedric when, was it Newcastle where we were playing, when they were coming down that side. And it was to help, Man United, wasn't it? He said, yeah, I done that to shield Cedric's side from the attack. They weren't having that. That's why when Saka went left back, it didn't really bother me. Because I was like, well, there's nothing coming. They're not going down the wings. The majority of the time, they're going down the side with Bellerin against Jack Grealish. Because that's, like I said to you the other day, that's the battle of the Carbsteads, isn't it? You know, he shoved him off the ball at the Emirates. So he's going to beat him every time. They'll go down that side. They won't go down the other. So that didn't bother me, Saka going into left back. But it's like Dan said, when all those players come on, they're all going wherever there was no set. You know, Smith Rowe started on the right-hand side, then all of a sudden Pepe, and it ruined. We were doing so well with Pepe and Saka on that left because Saka was actually overlapping properly at fullback compared to what Cedric was doing all game. And then we completely changed it, and Willian kills all sorts of momentum altogether. Anything positive that we have just completely went at that point because he's either going to give the ball away or he passes the ball backwards. When we're in the ascendancy going that way. And Aubameyang, see, this is another thing with Arteta I don't understand. I'll go back to it during the week, right? He tells us, oh, Renarsson's a great keeper. We should back him because he thought Renarsson might have had to play today instead of Matty Ryan. That same day, he drops him from the Europa League squad. But he's just told us how great he is. But I'm not picking him for my team, but he's great, right? There's one. Aubameyang, he's not good down the middle. He's better on the right, but he brings him on down the middle. It's the inconsistencies even coming out of his mouth that are worrying, as well as what's happening on the pitch. Willian, oh, he's better as a number 10, but he plays him wide left. It doesn't make sense.
Brilliant point.
None of it makes sense. And he contradicts himself because he's confusing himself in his own head. So how are we supposed to interpret? It just seems as though it was a case of towards the end, right, just throw everyone who's attacking on. Just throw every single person who's attacking on and let's see what happens. And we had, what, a misjudged header from Aubameyang? That was arguably the best chance that we had.
That's terrible. And, you know, Daniel, I want to bring this up too because we can talk all we want about Saka being fouled, you know, Lacazette being pulled in the box by Emi. Clearly, that was a penalty. We've seen those given. The excuses, like PG said on her voice note, ridiculous from the referee that was covering the game. But at the end of the day, you've got to take your chances. And that's what killed us in the Wolves game too. You know, Saka hits the post, we get offside, we have a disallowed goal. You know, Pepe hits the bar. You know, you've got to finish your chances. And I actually believe today that Aubameyang could come off the bench and have an effect on the game. You know, it's his time, it's his moment. He's been through a lot of different things. He's been on the bench the last couple of games and he's just not been able to do it. Daniel, at what point are we going to panic about Aubameyang, or are we already panicking about the player since 2018? He's a shadow of himself. He's a shadow of himself, Daniel.
Do you know the thing is with Aubameyang? I've been sort of championing Aubameyang this season and sort of saying that, listen, every good player has a dip in form. But listen, I still believe that Aubameyang will come back into form. But I just think the problems are deeper than any kind of one player's form. I honestly do.
Why?
I
think, Tell me why.
Well, it's just, you just look at today, right? And we just literally... do you know what? From right from the outset, even after we conceded the goal, I just felt like we were never going to score. I just didn't feel at any point we were ever going to get back into the game. Whereas the first half against Wolves, I was sort of like, okay, we could really do something here. But today, I just didn't feel like at any point during that game that we were going to come back into it. It just had that feel of we just... having lots of the ball, but just treading water with it, not really doing anything consistent or constructive with the ball.
Let me just because Carlito's put in here, and you're on a great tangent here, and I want to hear what you have to say. He's saying we don't play to Oba's strengths. He played on the left in the last season and a half, almost won the Golden Boot twice, scored tons of goals. Now fans want him playing down the middle, Daniel. I mean, he's definitely lost confidence and he's not the same player, but you can't say, he doesn't get the ball, but he also doesn't affect the game by going out to get the ball, you know, like an Aguero would, like some of those other forwards do and stuff like that. Do you agree with what he's saying?
Look, the thing with Aubameyang, listen, there's no way you could have put him on the left today because you couldn't drop Pepe. There's no justification for dropping Pepe. What does that send out to Pepe? He's probably been the best improved player over the last three to four games. And then what does that say? Aubameyang's fit, so you drop him out, for Aubameyang, who's, listen, he's out of form. And I think... It should be up to Aubameyang to force his way back into the team. It shouldn't be just because you're Aubameyang, you get straight in that starting lineup.
Yeah. You know, what's really interesting to me, Dan Potts, is that, you know, there's always the biggest glaring thing is since Aubameyang signed his new contract, he has not been the same player. And I really hope to God this isn't a case of I've made it now, I'm making all this money. I genuinely think, and Kevin says this a lot on the show, every striker goes through a barren run. But when you've seen how he's saved us over the last couple of seasons and how his goals have literally kept us in the positions that we've been able to achieve in the Premier League and win the FA Cup, it is really concerning now. And when he came on, Dan, he didn't really do anything. And so do you feel like, I think that there were some opportunities where, you know, he was put in the positions, he had the header, he had a chance as soon as he came on. There's just something not right. And this is where I question Mikel Arteta, because everyone talks about how managers improve players. And to me, there's a couple of players that he's improved, but the regression of Aubameyang is shocking. And he's the captain of the team. I mean, he's our highest paid player. It's just shocking to me, Dan.
It is shocking. And there's a certain amount of credit in the bank that he had. And I could forgive him to the start of the season. But I give out a stat last season and said that without Aubameyang's goal, we would have finished 17th last season. And I think that's proven right. Because without him scoring, we're looking like we're going to be about 13th, aren't we, when the games catch up now. So it's not too far off. And people said, oh, we wouldn't be 13. Someone else will score the goals. Well, who else is scoring the goals for us? Because they're not, are they? So I think when Aubameyang doesn't score, neither do Arsenal, really. And Saka's started to come into the mix. We've seen Pepe with a couple. But looking at the stats, you know, between them, Lacazette, Saka and Pepe are probably going to score between them what Aubameyang did for the whole of last season. Season before that, he was even better. And I think what it is with Aubameyang is mental, because you don't just become rubbish overnight. There's something wrong upstairs with him. If you remember, Lacazette went through it as well. He's only just started to come back into the mix now with some of the kind of enthusiasm that he showed with some of the youngsters around him. I think with Aubameyang, it will come. He's going through a real bad time mentally, and on the pitch, he's just not looking the same player. But when he's coming on, I don't see him giving the 110% that I always thought that he at least did. Started to see him try hard at least. Started to see him track back on when he was pushed out to the left. And whenever we was in front of goal, I just knew it was going to be a goal. And only a few months ago, he scored 5 goals in 3 games at Wembley. And now, it just looks like a completely different player. I think he needs to get into a better headspace. And I think once he does that, I think he'll come firing again because the talent's there. But he certainly doesn't need to be getting into this first team at the moment just because he's the most highest player and our best player on paper, because you've got to earn that right. And I feel like Kim and Willian have got nothing to worry about at all, because they're going to get ahead of the likes of Pepe and Martinelli, because this manager loves them both.
Yeah, not playing Martinelli today is unforgivable in my opinion. And I'm sorry, Willian's done nothing since Fulham. We all agree on that. Aubameyang's form was terrible. Listen, life stuff happens. We saw that with Saliba. You know, losing a parent is not easy. Worrying about your mum being sick is not easy. But Aubameyang's form was well shot before any of that happened, you guys. And I don't want to sit here and try and critique people when they have life experiences going on. But when you're the captain of Arsenal Football Club and you're paid that type of money, and you know what, if you're going to criticize Ozil for earning money and not performing, we can point the finger at Aubameyang too. I'm sorry. I want to get some player ratings in before Dan has to go, because it will also lead to some further discussion in terms of how the team performs. So get everyone ready in chat. You're listening to the Highbury squad here. We've got Daniel the Blind Gooner on. We've got Dan Potts from the same old Arsenal team talk. And we've got LL Cool James here as well. Three awesome Gooners who I'm really thankful for joining me tonight. Let's start with our goalkeeper, because let's be honest, was he the man of the match? I'm going to start with you, James.
Yeah,
what's your rating for Matty Ryan?
Seven. He made that very good save in the first half, I think, when Traore tried to dink him and he clawed it back. The one in the second half from Grealish where he hit the stinger was superb. That was an absolutely brilliant save. So, I mean, he's exactly what we all wanted after seeing the Renarsson experience go wrong, isn't it? We were looking at it going, cool, we need to sign a goalkeeper in January. And we all looked at it going, where are we going to find one? Then all of a sudden he comes along from Brighton, you think, oh, that's lovely, that'll do. And yeah, he's done exactly what you wanted. I thought he was the best player for us, hands down.
Mr. Daniel, the Blind Gooner over there, what's your take on Matty Ryan?
I thought he was excellent today. He definitely saved us. I would probably give him a 7, 7.5. I thought he was outstanding. And it just comes to something when your goalkeeper is your best player on the field.
It's terrible, isn't it, really? And his first game as well, and God bless him, like Dan said earlier in the show, he had to pick the ball out. I think one of you said he had to pick the ball out of the net. Mr. Potts, what's your rating for our goalkeeper?
Man, it's an 8 out of 10 easily. He's by far man of the match for Arsenal, and I don't think anyone come close to that. For me, it's an 8 out of 10 for Matt Ryan. A great, great debut.
So, James, I'm going to come back to you on this one. How does Bellerin stay on the pitch? Absolutely useless.
Yeah, and he had the armband on as well. That's the motivator. That's the guy that's supposedly going to pull him out. You know, that's the level. I'm actually one of the few people that do like Hector Bellerin. But even from me, he got a 4 today. Absolutely awful. Absolutely awful. He was never going to win that battle against Grealish, like I said. And yeah, it's just terrible game.
his passing, his crossing, just abysmal. Yeah. In general, our crossing today was abysmal. And we've talked about this a lot too, in terms of not being able to clear the first defender on corners, just terrible kind of rudimentary lack of technical ability type of stuff. Daniel, what's your rating for Bellerin?
Probably about a 3. It baffles me how this guy gets into the team. He offers nothing defensively and he offers nothing going forward. I honestly don't see how he gets into the team. Absolutely poor. And he's been poor for ages. Mm-hmm. But this is one of the decisions that I scratch my head over when it comes to Arteta's team selections and how he gets in the team, because he shouldn't. He's not good enough.
Yep, completely agree with you. Dan Potts, I'm going to get you on holding here. Not his best game today, really, let's be honest.
Nah, listen, no one's getting more than... there's only two players getting over a 4 for me, and Holding's getting a 4. Bellerin, I'd give him a 2. 1 for turning up and 2 for having a haircut. That's it. Everything else, nah. I ain't giving him any more than that.
Maybe one more point for his sustainable ad that he posted the other day. The dude is more concerned about his marketing than he is about what's happening on the pitch, right?
This guy sucks, man. I mean, I thought Carl Jenkinson was the worst right back we had at the club, but Jesus Christ, at least he could cross a ball. This guy, he's just dreadful, man. He's so bad. It's just, don't get anything defensively from him. When he goes forward, he can't cross the ball, so he's no threat. It's just like, what are you doing here, man? Go and get Lamptey from Brighton and let's see what he can do better in. It's just awful, so he's so bad.
He is. We need to sign a right back in the summer. There's no doubt about that.
So bad.
Yeah, James, what's your rating for Holding?
Yeah, Holding 4 as well. That was the worst game he's had for the last couple of weeks. I think someone mentioned it in the comments earlier. You can blame Cedric as much, you know, it was awful. Yeah, 100% can blame. You know, we can all throw Cedric in. That's the first mistake he's made in a couple of weeks as well, bear in mind. I don't think Cedric's been that bad, considering he's playing left back.
He had one bad pass today. Bellerin's had so many chances, hasn't he, to prove himself in this team.
Yeah, but Holding, same as the Wolves game. You know, everyone was going in on Luiz, and rightfully so. You know, I know it's a stupid rule, but they're the rules. And, you know, when you're pushing up that high from a goal kick and you're running back, you're going to get... And, you know, Holding didn't help him there. He didn't help either. He didn't help either for the goal today.
I think it's really harsh to blame Holding for... being out of position on that goal. I know that he maybe should have thought about it a little bit more, but come on, we were just caught off and that was a terrible pass from Cedric. Let's be honest about that. Dan, sorry, James, go on, mate.
Watkins shouldn't be given that much time. I know it was deflected as well, and if it wasn't deflected, it probably wouldn't have gone in. But it's not harsh to call holding. You should not be letting him have that much time. I mean, Watkins today played how we all probably thought Aubameyang would play when he come on. he was the one running behind. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we're too snobby to sign players like Watkins, you know?
It's not fashionable, is it,
at all? Daniel, what's your rating for Holding?
Yeah, it wasn't one of his best games today. I feel with Rob Holding that when he has a bad game, it's just purely a concentration problem. I feel like when he's on it, he's on it. But when he's off it, he's off it. And I just feel like if he can get his concentration, improve his concentration over 90 minutes, I think he has the potential to be a really good defender. But I feel with him, it's just a concentration issue. I would probably give him about a 4 for today's performance.
Yeah, it wasn't his best. Okay, Gabriel, is it me or is he regressed a little bit, Dan Potts?
Yeah, I think he's brushing the cobwebs off still. I don't think he's fully fit, but I like this guy. I really do. I thought it was a great signing. By far our best defender for the first few games of the season. And then obviously the COVID stuff hit and then Pablo Marie come in and I thought he was outstanding alongside Holding. So I was thinking, wow, we've got defenders now that are actually not our issue. And I stand by that. I still think that Gabriel's a good centre-half and he's probably the one that I would have given a 5 or 6, to be fair, today, because I thought he was, after a real shaky start, I thought he was really solid for the rest of the game.
Yeah, James, what's your take on Gabriel?
Listen, to me, no one had a good game today.
James, what's your take on Gabriel? I feel like the last couple games when he's played, I know he's come back from injury and stuff like that. He's not the same player we were raving about earlier on in the season. And that's not to say I'm not still on the Gabriel train, but I just feel like he's regressed a little bit. True or false?
Oh, true. 100% true. I agree with Bernadette. I'd give him about 4.5. I think offensively, especially from set pieces when the delivery wasn't terrible, and also when we were getting the crosses in, he was doing quite well. When he was heading the ball back across to try and get someone to tap it, that's a route that you could go down. However, ever since he has come back from his injuries and the old demonetized virus, I won't say it. keep you safe. He's been absolutely awful. And I don't know if that's because, again, like I said earlier, we keep playing catch up. We're playing catch up all the time. He's having to do more than what he should be doing, especially for someone that's come back. And people are putting it in the comments, and I 100% agree. Holding plays better with Mari.
Yeah.
I think Mari and him together, they had the partnership, they were on the run, and you should have stuck with them. And if it's, again, we're just doing this because of the money situation that is with Pablo Mari, apparently that faded after the 1st of Feb. So we don't have to pay that money after the 1st of February. So it is after the 1st of February, so play it.
Yeah, you know, also too, you know, Rob Holding played his best when he was with Mertesacker. We saw him have amazing, that FA Cup final was Mertesacker's greatest game, but also Rob Holding came of age in that game, and he plays better with smarter footballers, not necessarily pacey, you know, centre-backs. It's just positionally what helps him in his game, and that's where Rob really shines.
Maury's got really underrated leadership qualities
as
well.
He does.
If you watch, if you can watch without the fan noise, he's so vocal, and like you said, like Mertesacker, he's sort of pulling Holding through, like, right, you go there, you're spot on.
It makes a huge difference. Daniel, what's your rating for Gabriel?
Yeah, I think Gabriel, you know, I agree with you. He has regressed in the last couple of games. But I do feel with Gabriel, he's still settling in. You know, it's still his first season. I still think he's got enough credit in the bank at the moment not to be harshly criticised. I personally would maybe take him out a little bit just to give him a little bit of breather, take him out the firing line, maybe put Mari in there who can do a job, and then maybe bring him back in once he's built up a little bit more confidence.
Yeah. I think we'll probably see him in the next game. And we've got some tough ones coming up, that's for sure. Dan Potts, I know you're going to have to go in a couple minutes. You just let us know when you have to go. I'm going to keep going with you on the ratings. Guys, I'm worried about two players in our squad about being injury prone. I don't remember Thomas Partey being injury prone at Atletico Madrid. Am I right, Dan? Or Dan Potts? What's happening?
So Thomas Partey and Pablo Maria have only ever lost 3 games in a row for their clubs. They've come to us and they can't keep fit, man. It's just unbelievable to see this. He comes off yet again with another thigh or hamstring or whatever the hell it is, and he still can't shake it off. It's like they wear that red and white shirt and all of a sudden they can't keep fit. And it's a massive shame because 2 of the players, or 3 of these players, would walk into my first team: Tierney, Mari and Partey. And none of them can keep fit for more than a couple of games. It's worrying, you know, it's really worrying. So,
is it the pace of the Premier League? So I think Matty Kay just wrote that. He said, is it the different pace of the Premier League to La Liga? Is it different for Pablo as well? Is that what's happening here? But shouldn't the team and the coaching staff and the medical team have them conditioned to be ready for that?
Absolutely, they should. I don't see that as an excuse. Because listen, the Premier League's fast. The Premier League's physical. 100%, and it's not very warm at the moment. But I don't think you can sit there and say that that's why they're getting injured. You know, Kieran Tierney's training in the snow and everyone's getting it upset. Oh, he's going to get muscle injuries. Come on, give it a rest, man. This is, you know, he's playing in Scotland doing that for like the last 5 years. So I don't see that. I just think personally that this is just either something on our training ground, which people say it's not, or it's just bad luck and coincidence. The Pablo Mari one, I'm still with Lee Judges. Me and him have got this rumour going that he's not been available because of this 1 million fee that we owe. And now all of a sudden, oh, he's back on the bench. Now we can afford him. So,
I believe that.
That's very Arsenal for me. So, yeah, man, listen, Thomas Partey is massively important. So I hope he's not out for long. And I hope Tierney's back soon as well.
Okay, well, I know.
As much as I like Cedric and prove he's a good squad player, today he was awful.
Yeah, no, we've got. Yeah, so we're not gonna climb up the league. We're not gonna improve in the league unless we get specialized people in their positions, and that's just, you know, that's just the way it is. Dan, before you have to go, will you give me your mark on Xhaka real quick, because he had been playing better with Thomas Partey. He's always the scapegoat. Most people today are like, oh, see, our, you know, Xhaka's showing his true colors. Last week they were raving about him and his killer passes and all this type of stuff. The inconsistency of our fans sometimes is kind of deplorable in so many ways. What's your mark for Xhaka today? I'm not sure he was the worst player, but they all shit the bed today, let's be honest.
Yeah, they did. And I'll give Xhaka a 3 because that's the number of passes he managed to get to an Arsenal left. So I'll go for 3 out of 10. The guy is just, man, he I said it to you, Soph, the other night. He's a guy who gets himself out of jail and goes and robs a bank. Because, you know, one minute he's brilliant, next minute he's turd again, you know. And I'm just waiting for this guy to leave the club. He just does my head in. He's no athleticism. He slows the play down. Sideways and backwards is his middle name. I just can't stand the guy. I've just had enough of it for 5 years now. And I can forgive people that make mistakes, but when they make the same mistakes year in, year out, it does get rather tedious and a bit boring for me. So I'd get somebody with athleticism in there, or go for somebody like Bissouma from Brighton to upgrade on Xhaka, because this guy just awful. Absolutely awful player. So 3 out of 10, man.
All right. Look, I know you have to go, and I appreciate you jumping in and joining me today. Thanks, mate. We'll talk again real soon, and let's hope for some better results. We've got 7 days off, so maybe the next time we speak, the result will be a little bit better.
So keep it real. Daniel, pleasure. James, take it easy. I'll speak to you guys later.
Take care, mate.
Cheers, Dan.
All right, LL Cool James, I'm going to come to you next. Let's start with Thomas Partey. It is really, really concerning to me. He comes off again. It's the way he comes off. I mean, limping and stuff like that. We need this player. We've seen him, you know, perform and transform the team, make everyone better around him. And today was another off day. Whole team did. But what's your rating for Thomas Partey? And are you concerned about these injuries, these nigglers?
I think it's he had 7 years at Atletico Madrid. Like Dan said, he had 7 years there and he never missed more than 3 games in a row. So there's got to be something. I don't know if it's the shirt that when, you know, we're just a cursed shirt or something. I just don't know. No, he didn't have a good game. He didn't have a good game. And, you know, he seems to have a bad game, then a good game, then a good game and a bad game. And we know what this guy can do. When he signed for us, he was already better than any player that we had in the club. Just hands down, from what he can do to change our team, better than any of the others that we had in there at doing what Thomas Partey can do when he's on form. So we need to manage him properly and get him to that level, because I believe the season, league-wise, is over.
100%.
But Europa League, especially if it's going to go to being these one-game knockout games like it's being rumoured, that's a guy that can make a big difference. And in a one-off knockout game, I want someone like a Thomas Partey in my midfield, threading the balls to our strikers who you've said have gone quiet at the moment. But if they do wake up, he's the kind of guy that you want threading the ball in. I mean, we've skipped over Cedric and Xhaka's ratings, but I don't think Xhaka was as bad as what.
Oh, did we miss Cedric? I missed Cedric. You know, because I think it's a 2. So that's why.
Yeah, you got a 3. You got a 3.
What's your Xhaka rate? Because I was trying to get Dan's in before he left. So you can do Xhaka, and then we'll get Daniel's Xhaka and Partey rate.
Xhaka, I would have gave a 6.5. I think that he wasn't as bad. I don't think Xhaka was that bad. I think outfield wise, Xhaka was one of the best players along with Saka.
I think so too today.
The threaded, lofted through pass that he gave to Pepe, that Pepe controlled down, and then we whipped. If Aubameyang left it, you never know, maybe Smith Rowe might have tucked it. That all come from Granit Xhaka, which, and again, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, he was.
I agree with that too. Yeah, I think he was better today too. Daniel, what's your rating for Partey and Xhaka?
So for Thomas Partey, I think he's underperformed for the certainly in the Wolves game as well. He underperformed a little bit. But I would probably give him maybe I'll give him a 5 for this game. But I am quite worried about this injury thing. And I've said it for time, guys. I actually think there's something wrong with our medical department and the way they handle things, because it can't be that every player that's got a good injury record before they come to us, they can't just come in and suddenly start picking up all these injuries week in, week out, and barely get a consistent run in the team. There has to be something going on behind the scenes with this medical, with our medical department, that they're not doing right and they're not sharing with us. And, you know, maybe they wouldn't share that with us, but there's got to be something there. And it's clear to see with the players just constantly getting injured. And it's been happening, when you look back on it, it's been happening for years, isn't it? Not, it's not just a recent thing that this has happened. It's always been, we get a fairly decent team, but half the players end up getting injured all the time. So there has to be something going on behind the scenes, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a little bit worrying and stuff. What's your real quick? What's your rating for Xhaka?
Yeah, so Granit Xhaka again. He didn't have his worst game today, and this is the feature of Xhaka's Arsenal career, really. He'll have a good game, then he'll have about 10 bad games, then a good game. I'd give him about a 6 today. I didn't think he was too bad.
Yeah. James, Saka didn't have his best game today either, I didn't think. He did get in good positions. He was fouled a lot, and maybe sometimes he didn't get the benefit of the doubt. He's definitely an important player and a component to this team. I feel like we'll do him and Smith Rowe at the same time. I feel like they're both maybe looking a little tanked, Smith Rowe a little bit more. But why don't you start with Saka first? And there was someone in here saying, screw the player ratings, can we talk about strategy moving forward? And I just posted, listen, part of doing the player ratings, we talk about who deserves to be in the team and who doesn't, who's performing well and who isn't, and if they're not, why? And is it the player or is it, you know, man management? So just be a little bit patient here, because when we lose, there's a lot of different components and things we need to talk about with each player. And with Saka, you know, we need to protect him. Today he got kicked around a lot, James, and yeah. You know, it wasn't, again, he can't put the team on his shoulders all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go down the full, you know, David Icke, the referees have got a conspiracy against Arsenal route. You know, I don't want to be the Arsenal version of Alex Jones. however, when there is no protection for a player of Saka's quality, you have to worry, because we are constantly playing and playing and playing this guy. And if there is no protection from the refs, like there wasn't today, he will get crunched again. And he might not get up straight away like he did today. Mm-hmm. And he could be hurt. And then where do we go? You did a brilliant podcast this week with Casey for his birthday. It was excellent. You put a picture up of Casey when he was 15 years old. Yeah. And he had calves that were nearly as big as my shoulder blades.
Yeah, and those hungry eyes.
Yeah, but he said, I was hungry. Okay, Saka's hungry. But if he gets hurt, like I'm talking about, you know, because there's no protection from the refs, what we're going to play, is Pepe going to be moved back to the right-hand side and Aubameyang on the left? Because that's okay. But if that's not the case, and it's a who's hungry to take that position over? There isn't anything. There isn't anything there. And yeah. But I agree there. Yeah, I agree with the captain. Both of them need a rest. Yeah. But at the moment, we are so desperate that it's a case of, well, look, we'll risk running him into the ground for the points. Mm-hmm. And that is a sorry situation to be in. And sadly, that is the situation we're in. But yeah. He should have got that red card earlier, because he was winning that foot race all day. And that guy is the last man. And I mean, there was a game that we played against Crystal Palace a couple of seasons ago where Mikel Arteta was sent off. And it was further out than that. It was further out. The inconsistency with them is unbelievable.
It is. And it is. I, you know, look, I don't want to focus on blaming the refs or VAR today.
No.
Because at the end of the day, we need to talk about our team and the performance.
Yeah,
should Saka have got a penalty? Absolutely. For me, the Saka one is 6-1, half a dozen of the other. I can't call it a red, you know, overtly, but, you know, it could easily have been given. Yeah. The point is that once again, we didn't take our chances and we underperformed. performed. And, you know, I'm not even sure it's fair to give Smith Rowe a player rating because he's been so good, but we have to judge him as well, James. And for me today, you know, you could tell he's gassed. And this is why on the show the other day, we were talking about just start Odegaard, rest him today. And let's see what this kid can do in 90 minutes. So, Daniel, what's your thoughts on ratings for Saka and Smith Rowe?
So and Saka,
how they played.
I think because he's given a lot in the last few games, I think today he just looked a little bit tired, if I'm being honest. He was, having said that, he still, you know, created a few chances, but I just thought he looked a little bit tired. And I think his chance in that with the Aston Villa player, I think the Villa player should have been sent off. I think if you're going to send off David Luiz for a similar thing, then you have to give that and you have to be consistent with that. In my opinion, you can't one day give a red card and then the next day not give a red card. It's just a sign of inconsistency. And this is why none of our officials ever get picked for major tournaments, because they're just crap. They are just total rubbish.
Yeah, it's really bad. There's definitely that. And Smith Rowe looked tired today. He's got to be rested for the next game, no?
Yeah, Smith Rowe. I would have started Odegaard, give him a run out. That's why we brought him in, so that he could help Smith Rowe and help him out when he is struggling. And I felt he struggled a bit against Wolves as well. And I said, after that game, that we should maybe take him out for a couple of games to give him a bit of a rest. And he's worked so hard over the last couple of games. He's worked extremely hard. And that's going to be telling on a young player. He needs to be managed properly.
Yeah, and I think MK says it right. Like, why bring in him if we're not going to use him? And then also now for Arsenal fans want to criticise him for just coming on for like 20 minutes and, you know, coming into a game that was already difficult. Come on, guys, relax. The guy's hardly played and you want to kill him because he came on and did nothing. That's just not fair. It's not right. You know, if you're going to get behind other players and stand behind Aubameyang when he's been given chance after chance to get out of this slump and prove himself, we can't just expect Martin Odegaard to come in and light the Premier League on fire. I mean, you know, Diaz of Manchester City is probably one of few players who's come in first season in the Premier League lighting it up. Manchester City's defence this season compared to the last two is insane. That doesn't happen often, you know. So you have, and I agree with Jess here, he should have played from the start. ESR should have been rested today and Arteta once. This is why some of us are pissed off with Arteta, because, you know, we said at the beginning we were happy with the team selection, but, you know, we also talked on the show a couple of days ago where we said rest ESR, play Martin Odegaard, you know, give him a shot, especially against a team like Villa. Play teams don't know him yet. They don't know what he has. So let's not kill the guy. He did more than Willian. So I just want to move on here real quick. We've got another 10 minutes left here. You're listening to the Highbury Squad. It's the post-game show, Aston Villa versus Arsenal. We weren't planning on a show today, but I felt aggrieved when I had to get up at 4 a.m., lads. And I thought to myself, no, I'm going to go on and I'm going to bitch about all of them because this isn't good enough. You know, we're languishing in the table. We've not improved in the Premier League. Some players are regressing. We've got so many injuries. I know it's COVID, but why has David Moyes got West Ham flying? Why does Dean Smith have Aston Villa flying? That's a team that was 1 point off relegation last season. Are you telling me West Ham are the best team in London now? The table doesn't lie. It says that they are.
It's so because they're a collective, Sophie. They're a collective. We've got guys in our team that individually are absolutely brilliant. And we've also got players that when they go missing, the ones, like I said earlier, who's hungry? The ones that replace the decent ones just aren't good enough. They just aren't good enough. And we looked at these last three games and we thought, oh, if we can get, you know, seven points out of these, that will do us brilliantly because of all the other teams that have dropped the points. And then also you're looking at Chelsea. They've got a new manager. All right, that's gone really well for them. They've been proven right making that decision. And as far as we're concerned, we just throw it away. I mean, you got lambasted You got lambasted the other day for saying that we capitulated. It's not as in we capitulated and then they scored more and the game went and everything else like that. It's that there's still this frail mentality at Arsenal that when any slight incremental thing goes wrong, they all just completely collapse. And that's been the case for as long since William Gallas at St. Andrews when Eduardo got taken out. It's been that way since then. And again, today, you know, like I said, 74, I keep going back to it, 74 minutes in. 74 seconds in, 74 seconds in, and you're down. And the saddest thing about it is most of us knew we weren't going to come back.
Yeah.
That's the saddest thing.
Daniel, he's right too. And this is a joke. Like, we sacrificed the FA Cup. And trust me, I said at the beginning, I just wanted to be competitive in the Premier League again and win the Europa League. Getting back to European final and winning a European trophy, because I believe that's our best route back to the Champions League. Not because I think we can win the Champions League. It's just what the money does for us being in the Champions League and not having been in it for 5 years has affected us. And especially now during COVID, we're seeing that escalate further and further and further. And though when it became obvious that we weren't going to finish in the top four in the Premier League, we then had a discussion on the show saying, well, then you've got to try and stick it out in the FA Cup as much as you can because there's another route to Europe. And for some reason, his ego believed that he could get top four. And then one thing I want to get on real quick before we go is, how do you sub Willian and not bring on Martinelli, Daniel?
Jeez. Do you know what, right? I honestly don't know how Willian gets into this team. I really don't know how he gets into this team. He just does nothing, but every week he gets picked or comes on as a sub. And it's just absolutely ludicrous. And this is why I take issue with Arteta, because I think, I can't remember who was it that alluded to earlier in the show. If there is something contractual, that's ludicrous. The fact that you're going to allow that even contract to be signed with that stipulation in there. No player should ever dictate to a manager, well, I'll come, but I want this percentage of games and it's going to be in my contract. If I was the manager, I'd be saying, do you know what? If you're going to dictate to me like that, then you're not going to come. I'm the one in charge. I'm the one picking the players, not the other way around. And it seems like with Arteta, he's letting too many of these players dictate to him when he's the coach. He's the guy that he should do the dictating. And I feel like he's just rolling over too easily. He's trying to be everybody's friend, but in doing that, he's just letting certain players, certain individuals walk all over him.
Yeah, and the real captain, we've already been embarrassed in the Champions League. Have you not seen the Bayern Munich games? Come on, yeah. It's not about winning it. We know we can't win it. It's about the money. It's about the financial benefits, James.
Yeah, to play a devil's advocate as well, just to come back on myself a bit, where I've said about managing the minutes, right? Martinelli has come back off a horrible, horrible injury. And I know I've sat here and said, we're running these young players in the ground, and he is still a young player. But when you're looking at it on the balance of the game, and we're talking about here, Mikel Arteta's in-game management, you could see that most of the problems they were having were coming off the sides. And I believe one, if not both, of their players that were on the sides were on bookings, or I think Cash was, but maybe Target wasn't.
Yes.
If you'd have put Martinelli out there to run at one of them, they might have got a red card. They go a man down. Then maybe they get a bit more compact and don't want to come out. But then we can sort of progress forward onto them. And, you know, when you're desperate for a goal and you think Willian is the solution compared to Martinelli, even though Martinelli has been out, then you really have got to take a look at yourself. You really have.
For sure. for sure. Let's try and you're getting a thumbs up there for talking sense as well, James. Well done. And Daniel as well. Daniel's spot on from Johnny Boy. Love these guys. They've got some great insights. And look, we're just being as honest as we can be with what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this up real quick with I thought Pepe was, together with Matty Ryan, was one of the best players on the pitch today. Daniel, I'm going to start with you with Pepe, and then we'll finish up with Lacazette.
Yeah, do you know, like with Pepe, I've said this for time, that I think if he gets a consistent run in the team, he will gradually improve. And I've been one of Pepe's critics because, you know, because of the price tag, and actually maybe I've been a little bit harsh on him, but he's really come into it. And I think with Pepe, he's a confidence player. So if the manager believes in him, then I think he can do great things. But today he was probably our best player on the pitch, apart from Matt Ryan, second to Matt Ryan. But yeah, I feel with Pepe, I think he just needs that arm around his shoulder to go, come on, you've got this, you can do this, because he has struggled since he's been at Arsenal. There's no question about it. And I think people judge him too harshly because of his price tag, and it's not his fault. That the big fee and how he came to us. I think he just needs a bit of confidence, Pepe.
Yeah. And you know, I think the next step is he's, you know, strung four games together where he's played really well, scored one. He needs to just now, he should have buried that today. He had a chance. It was with his right foot. He hit it wide. He had a couple of chances. But I do think, like, when we've killed him, and I've killed him, I put him on the Mount Rushmore. I think it was Taylor from Arsenal Los Angeles. I had him on my Mount Rushmore of worst ever signings. And I will eat humble pie again at the end of the season.
I think the chances will come for him, though. I think that the clinicalness will come from him the more game time he gets.
Yeah. James, you wanted to add something.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, watch him next Sunday. Watch him, because we're playing Leeds. And he, you know, last time he cost us against Leeds, and he'll want to bounce back. You know, a bit like Martinez. Martinez had a shocker against West Ham, and you just knew that he was going to turn into Buffon in his prime today. You knew it was going to happen.
I told Casey and Amanda, they were like, no. And I'm like, it worries me that they lost that game and they're going into our game of, you know, following a loss and stuff like that.
He's got extra motivation. He wanted to perform today.
Yeah, totally.
And Pepe will be the same. Next week, you'll see Pepe against Leeds, and he will be exactly the same that we've been saying the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Someone asked me if I want to be in the CL. Here we go. Aslan. Do you want Arsenal to be in the CL to make up the numbers or to chat? No, I just want the money. Come on, guys. We're never going to win the Champions League. This isn't Greece 2004. This isn't Leicester Premier League. This isn't Jose Mourinho's Porto. The game's, you know, changed and evolved and moved
on. It is, Sophie. You say that. You say that, but how can you win it if you're not in it?
Exactly.
You have to be in it to win it. It's cliche, but it's true.
And also, we need the money to buy better players, to spend, you know, money on better players. You can't always do it on a Europa League budget and being in the Europa League. We need to be there for the future of our club. We need to be there. And listen, it doesn't matter whether we win it or not. Just being there and getting players who can compete. And I do believe once we get back into the Champions League, a lot of things will fall into place, and we can really kick on as a club. But we need to overcome that hurdle and get into the Champions League to do that.
Totally agree with you, Daniel. Totally agree. I'll manage Arsenal. I will take Daniel and James with me. thing is, PG is going to want to be like the director of football, which might be a disaster, just letting you guys know. Maybe KC could be the chief executive. It's not rocket science, it's football. And sometimes we overcomplicate things. And I think Arteta sometimes is a little bit like Pep Guardiola, overcomplicates things, square pegs round holes sometimes, when really football is simpler. And I understand he doesn't have his full team yet. And I say this a lot on this show, every team has to have a manager that builds a team in their image. And, you know, everyone keeps saying it's his first full season. Well, he's been manager now since last December. That's over a year, okay? And our league form has not changed. It hasn't. And we're out of the FA Cup. And now we've got to play Benfica. Thank God Diaz isn't at Benfica anymore, you guys. Otherwise, we would definitely not get a look in. And I'm not saying Arteta out, but something needs to give in the league. And we're losing games and, you know, we're underperforming and not scoring goals. This is one of our biggest Achilles heels.
This is it as well, Sophie. This is it as well, right? This is a discussion. No one here is going, you know, I know there are sections of the Arsenal fan base that are, you know, being vocally somewhat even more than critical, just downright abusive towards the manager. However, you can ask questions about him without wanting him to be Arteta and without resulting to be. There is nothing wrong with asking a man to be accountable for the choices that he makes, especially when we are people that are fans, you know.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, I have the statistics that I used at my fingertips just from looking online. These guys have more stuff than I will ever get. You know, they've got levels above what I've got, and yet they're still setting up incorrectly. They're still failing, and they're still making bad choices. And again, yeah, he is learning on the job. But at the same time, then the people that are above him who are questionable as well need to go, well, we need to get better people around him to help him.
All right. This is a big job to be learning on, Daniel, isn't it? My goodness.
You've got to ask questions of Arteta. You've got to. And do you know what? I'm going to be straight up honest. I don't think Arteta is good enough for this job. I'll be honest. I think it's too big for him. I think it's too big for a manager to take the job on a first time basis anyway, as your first job. But with the problems that we had and the mess that we're in, it's an even bigger job.
Yeah.
And the thing is with Arteta, right? Yeah. Like he's got a worse record than Emery, but yet Emery got sacked for having a better record. And I just, you know, if you can call out Emery, then you've got to call out Arteta as well. And listen, we're where we are, not, you know, because we're where we are in the table because we deserve to be there, because we have been absolutely shocking. And the thing is with Arteta, Arteta's got a better squad than what Emery had, but yet Emery got more out of those players than Arteta's getting out of these players. And that, for me, that's, you've got to ask questions. You cannot sit
and the players said they couldn't understand him either. They said they couldn't even understand him.
Bullshit. He's a translator. Come on, there's such excuses and nonsense. It's just nonsense, you know.
Do you know the thing is, right? And I've said it for time. I think Emery would have been more successful if he did have a translator. I do believe that there was a language barrier, but if he got the best out of those players with that language barrier and that barrier in place, imagine what he would have done if he had an interpreter. I fully believe that if he had an interpreter, he probably would have done so much better.
He tried so hard, Daniel, to learn the language and immerse himself in the culture. And, you know, I know someone who knew Emery and he really tried. And I, you know, sometimes, guys, we know stuff that we don't talk about because we can't, but he inherited an enabled squad. And they gave him some problems, especially one particular player that did not make it easy for him. And he tried to change things. And yes, towards the end, it was a disaster. But also when Arteta took over, we still had an opportunity to qualify for the Champions League. Let's not fool ourselves. The Crystal Palace result was a disaster, absolutely. But we still could have qualified for the Champions League and we did not. And someone asked me in chat earlier, name me a manager that's done a good job this season. Pep Guardiola. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I don't give a shit what you say. Manchester United were in the doldrums last season. He got them up to third. Yeah. They qualified for the Champions League. They knew they weren't going to win it, but the money helped them. And now they're second. And at 12 o'clock today, they could go equal points with Manchester City. David Moyes, everyone wanted him out. Laughed that West Ham rehired him. Look what he's done with a team. Is that team more talented than us? Dean Smith, as I said.
Dean Smith's laughing to the bank.
Look what he's done.
Do you know what's really worrying, Sophie, right? And I listened to Arteta's post-match press conference, and throughout that press conference, he kept saying, "Oh, we should have won the game. We should have won the game." What game are you watching? What game are you watching? No way in any kind of universe should we have won that game, or we were good enough to win that game. And for me, when a manager's saying that, there's problems. There's massive problems.
Yeah, and I agree with M. Muzz here. We are weak sauce. One of the things I said at the beginning of the season is I hope we've brought in a mental conditioning coach, and I'm pretty sure we have one, but we are weak sauce. You know, today we lost that goal early and we never recovered. Now, has he done a better making us better defensively? Yes, of course. We're not going to deny that. But we can't score goals, and we needed goals today. And there's another kid who's in the under-23s, right, who, you know, a Balogun, who can come on. Why not throw him in? Give him a chance. What do we have to lose at this point? Nothing's going to change in the Premier League. All right, we're going to have to get out of here. But I want you to quickly do Lacazette for me and Aubameyang, guys, in a nutshell. I'll start with you, James, because, you know, Lacazette, I just think, was on a road to nothing today. There was nothing. He was feeding on scraps. He didn't have one of his best games either. And when Aubameyang came on, for me, he didn't do much once again.
Yeah, both of them. I'd say Lacazette, I'd go more so of around a five. And then Aubameyang, it's harsh because of everything that's going on. And Daniel said it earlier, you don't become a bad player overnight. But there is clearly a huge mental drop-off from where he was before he signed his contract to where he is now he signed it. And dare I say it, he's got a very, very big touch of the Fernando Torreses about him.
Yep.
Am I wrong saying that? Am I harsh to say that? I don't know. I just look at him and I think we all know that it's still there. But
yeah, it's getting that way.
But is it in his head that he's still that guy? Because it's looking grim. It's looking grim for the guy. But I agree with a comment someone made earlier where mentally, with everything that's going on with him, and he's probably telling the manager, play me. I want to play. Like, I've had, my mum's all right. I'm all right. Play me. But we're throwing him on in situations where we're playing catch up. And also, I think people know what to do with him now. Just, you know, show him outside.
Yeah.
Show him out. But then when he come on as well, we're pumping balls in the air. How many headers has he scored for Arsenal? One, two?
Yeah. It's just it's just not a good situation at all. It really isn't. Daniel, Laka and Oba real quick.
So Lacazette, again, I don't think Lacazette really done much, and he should have got a penalty. You know, I think that was a clear penalty for me. Aubameyang, listen, I've said it before. Listen, you don't just lose your form overnight, and I think there's more to this than we're told. I think maybe his personal issues might be affecting him, and I honestly do believe that. Listen, there's still a quality player there, but I think there's just some personal issues going on, and I think he will come back. I'm certain of it that he will come back into form. But you know what? It's so easy to lose your form when you're in a team that is struggling anyway. I've said this as well. I think it's so
many chances, Daniel, as well. You know,
but the thing is, it's so easy when it's harder to keep your form when you're in a team that's struggling, when you've got a team of crap, inconsistent players around you. It's a lot easier to lose your form than it is to keep it. And I think that's part of it as well. I think he is struggling because the whole team is just struggling, and the whole team has struggled this season.
I know, we just can't create the chances. Right, almost 400 of you in live chat. Hit that like button if you like us. We'd love for you to hit that like button. And if you don't, we will still be friends and you can still come in here and rant, rave, love, loathe or like. Either way, we're cool with it. I feel like if I don't ask you about Odegaard and also who was the other sub that came on, and my mind is escaping me. Willian. Should we just park Willian? There's nothing to say.
I said it on Twitter earlier. Willian is like when you meet the girl of your dreams and you're in a hotel with her. You're about to do the deed, and then she goes into the bathroom and she takes a shit with the door open. Ruins the moment. Just kills the moment dead. Everything's ruined. It was going so well, and then he comes on the left, and it just ruined the whole thing. Dreadful.
Man, I hope that hasn't happened to you, James.
No, I don't get asked to go to hotels.
Another thing with Willian is I just hope Arsenal kept the receipt, because we definitely need to cash in and get a refund. And I just honestly, he's just. Do you know what? When we signed him, I thought we were getting a decent player, and I was being told by Chelsea fans, "Oh, he's crap, he's this, he's that. You're getting a rubbish player." And I was like, "No, he's decent. He looks pretty decent." I feel a bit stupid now because those Chelsea fans were right. He is total crap.
You know what? I'm not, you know, with Martin Odegaard, I'm not going to judge him yet until he has a full game. I don't think it's fair.
I saw people digging him out for hitting his shot over. I'm like, I'll give it a rest.
I know. It's ridiculous. You know,
I actually thought he'd done all right in the time that he'd come on. I'm going to be honest. I thought he'd done really well. And, you know, I didn't think he was, one of our worst players. I thought when he come on, he looked bright. He looked really enthusiastic. And he just needs a full 90 minutes now to show what he can do. But I was really impressed with him when he come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think the guy needs more time. He's just got here. Let's all relax and take a chill pill. Right. Daniel and James, I can't begin to thank you for joining me. Some fantastic feedback and thoughts. In summary, our league form needs to get better. We've got some tough games coming up. I think we have Man City. We have Leeds.
We have Leeds, yeah. Leicester and Man City in the next three.
Ouch.
We need 7 points out of that. We're not going to get more than one. We are not going to get more than one.
Yeah.
And we have Benfica, right, James, you were saying?
Yeah, if that becomes a one-off, then I'm all for that. Like I said, Europa League. If it all become one-off games like it did last year, you know, when they changed Europe to just these neutral venues and had the one-off game, I'm more confident with us doing something like that. But in the two-legged games,
we're a cup team. I mean, we're better in one-off games. We don't have the mental strength for the Premier League yet, and we somehow have to find that, whether it's with Arteta and some of these players or not. Arsenal is still in an evolutionary period. And always remember, you guys, it's okay to criticise choices, the manager and the players. It doesn't mean that you don't love your club and you want the manager sacked, as James said earlier as well. Right. You guys enjoy the rest of your Saturday night. Now, which one of you is going to take me out with Always Arsenal?
I've done it before. I've done it terribly the other week. Go on, Daniel, you have a go.
We say Always Arsenal at the very end of the show, right? So you're on.
Sophie, before you wrap up, can I just give my channel a shout out? My YouTube channel.
Tell people, yes, how rude of me. Of course, tell everyone where they can find you, mate.
So you guys can find me at the Blind Gooner. I'm so close to 2,000 subscribers in only a year. So please, everybody do go and check that out. And I've got a brilliant interview on Monday dropping with Fabrizio Romano. So yeah, please do go and check that out. Nice. We really appreciate that.
Very, very nice. Look, I've been asked on a date as well. So this is all good. Night is getting just better right now. Everything's livening up in the house. And Daniel, that's good. We look forward to listening to that. And James, what about you, mate? Let everyone know where they can find you as well.
Yeah, so it's LLCoolJames91 on the Twitter. And then if I can go for my leech of your subs again, Purely Arsenal FP is the podcast. And then James Johnston Football is my own personal channel. I haven't uploaded for ages, but I am coming back.
Amazing. Okay. Yeah, awesome. 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 And yes, Amesy, you can catch us on playback, and everyone who's listening on replay as well. Thank you. Hopefully things will get better. Love and respect, as Game says, to all the Arsenal fans out there. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, it's night. and hopefully we can have better days ahead of us in the Premier League. And
The Mars Singer's on. Chuck it on.
go on, Daniel. You're going to take us out.
Yeah. Always Arsenal.
Yes.